can see clearly now the rain is gone. I can see all obstacles in my way. Gone are the dark clouds that had me blind. It's gonna be a bright, sunshiny day.
Good afternoon and welcome to Choices Along the Way, where we give you straight talk about all your choices, your viable options, your workable choices, and I think Lynn has covered all of our names with that last sentence. This is Dave Laskowski. My wife Linda Laskowski and I own together Viable Options, located in North Kansas City, Missouri, where we offer gravity flow colon therapy, traditional Chinese herbal medicine, Western herbology, homeopathy, flower essences, Ion Qi foot baths, far infrared saunas. We feature a full line of New Sun products to your daily supplementation. And as a practitioner, I have a complete inventory of professional grade herbal formulas. We are home to Spotox Days, featuring the foot bath, sauna, colonics, and reflexology by Karen Kipp of Power Your Journey. And our next one is going to be on January 25th, where we're, I think, booked solid on that one. So we're trying to find another day as soon as we can because we've got so many people on our waiting list. Linda.
Now, our next guest may seem like a surprise since we're supposed to be a health show. However, stress is one of the leading causes that break our systems down, both mentally, spiritually, physically, and financially. I don't always have health questions to answer when I'm working on a client. Lately, money issues have been coming up, and the lack of money is on everyone's mind. So usually when people are in that state, they don't think talking to a financial representative can help them in any way. I know that's how I used to think. However, everything has changed since I have been talking to one. So we decided to bring on a financial representative so he could answer questions that you may have going on and maybe alleviate some of the stress that is occurring in everybody.
So today we have Mr. Marcus Robinson with us. Marcus is a financial representative, and he's going to explain exactly what that is and along with some of his methods for helping you to understand how to start, how to continue to secure your future, and how to work with your finances. How are you this afternoon, Marcus, in lovely, sunny Las Vegas?
I'm doing very well. How are you, Dave and Linda?
Oh, we're enjoying
bitter cold in Missouri.
Bitter cold in Missouri, or misery, as it's known sometimes when the weather is like this.
And since I wasn't looking at the sheet, I totally screwed this up, and David took my spots, and I took his. So we'll just keep right on going. So I've had the confusion, as most of my clients have, that a financial representative is the same as a stockbroker. And I know you cleared this one up for me the other night on the phone, so can you clear it up for the audience?
Yes. A lot of people actually do confuse the two, and definitely a stock broker takes care of part of financial planning, the wealth accumulation part. However, they typically don't take care of other parts. For example, there are three main parts that make up a financial plan. And if you think of it like a pyramid, the first part or the foundation is risk management. Once you've built a foundation of good risk management. This is things like protecting yourself from dying too soon, from getting sick or injured, and other risks that are out there. You can move to the second phase of financial planning, which is wealth accumulation, saving for retirement, saving for college education, regular investments. And this is where stockbrokers mainly focus, is in this wealth accumulation. And then the final piece of a financial plan is wealth preservation. Once you have built all this wealth, once you have done a good job in raising your kids and living a good life, you want to make sure that you're able to preserve the wealth that you have built and even pass it along to your loved one. So those are the three major parts, and a good way to think about it would be thinking of a pyramid. You want to make sure that you start off first, like I said, with a solid foundation of risk management. These are taking care of things that probably, you know, are unlikely, but in the event of one of these things happening, they could be catastrophic.
Sure.
To a family.
Well, it's,
for example, go ahead, Dave.
Yeah, it's, I guess it's kind of important. I mean, from a, you're talking about your basic, just like you have to have car insurance and home insurance, life insurance, or if you own a business, that you have insurance to protect your business, and making sure that you've got that foundational, so that good foundation. So if something does catastrophically happen to the business or to the people that own it, at least you can move through that problem without going broke, I guess.
Exactly. And just as when you did your intro, you talked about how weighing stress can be on all of us. And if you think of it just in terms of health insurance, if you have health insurance, you know, you're not that afraid of getting sick. Well, you still don't want to get sick, but you're certainly not as afraid of getting sick as someone who doesn't have health insurance at all.
Yeah.
You know.
And it's perfectly okay. I guess you don't have to be a Rockefeller or a Vanderbilt or a Kennedy or somebody that's, you know, a billionaire to get started working with a financial representative to help start making some of these plans. I guess the trick behind it is just starting someplace, isn't it?
Definitely. And the first thing you want to do is just really figure out what's important to you. And let me explain a little bit about how I work with my clients.
Okay.
And that'll give you some idea of what I mean by that.
Sure.
When I meet my clients, first of all, my clients are all 100% referrals. I don't do any cold calling. I'm always just referred from client to client, which works really well for me because I think I do a very thorough and holistic job when I'm doing my planning. Mm-hmm. But the first thing I'll do is I'll introduce myself to the client, and I'll get to know them first. I'll find out what's important to them, where they're trying to go in life, you know, where they want to be at the end of the year, in 3 years, 5 years, 10, 15 plus years. You know, what are all of the things that they want to make sure that they accomplish? Now, life is always changing, but as a starting point, you know, what are the goals as of right now? Mm-hmm. Then what I do is I take their answers that they give me, and I create an analysis. This is going to be a very detailed report that tells my clients what it'll take for them to reach their goals and what and how what they're currently doing plays a part in that, you know, what they can expect from that.
Uh-huh.
From there, I'll you know, what priorities they should do first,
mm-hmm.
you know, all the way down to things we should do to accomplish some of the goals. And then I'll give my recommendations. And where we go from there is completely up to them.
Right.
If they want to move forward, they become a client. If not, sometimes. Now, let me note here that I have not yet charged them for anything. I've pretty much spent a couple hours with them getting to know them, then coming back and create an analysis. And no, it doesn't take a lot of money. You don't have to be a Rockefeller or that to work with me. And there's a lot of financial representatives out there that work exactly like me.
Mm-hmm.
So yeah, no, a lot of times people think that you do need to come with $20,000, $30,000, $50,000 or more to even have a meeting with me, and that's certainly not the case.
Now, how often do you meet with these people after you set up a plan? Is it a monthly thing or every 3 months or when they have a change in their lifestyle? Or?
Okay, what happens typically when we set up a plan? Well, first of all, almost with everybody that I meet with, you know, they'll list out their goals, and they might have 10, 12 goals that they want to do, but the only steps we can take are the top two or top three at this moment. you know, just getting started at something, maybe just taking care of the risk management piece,
right,
or just taking care of that and maybe a little bit more towards retirement or a college plan. So depending on what, you know, how detailed the plan is, you know, it might be several meetings within the first couple months. It might be, you know, meet every single month for a year. It just depends on the client. Now, every client, I do make sure that I get a hold of them at least twice a year. Again, some clients I meet with every month, some clients only twice a year, but I make sure that with the constant changes that, you know, in the economy and life, I make sure that I reach out to my clients at a minimum of twice a year.
Okay,
so if I was just starting out and I have a, you know, just starting to have children and everything else, when I decided to get married, it would be a good idea for me to give you a call. And then when I had my first child, the same thing, second child, and then we sit down and, like, revamp the goals or add the goals to it to incorporate all these changes.
Exactly. What I do, hopefully you won't have to reach out to me. Hopefully I'll reach out to you before you get there, but like I said, every 6 months I reach out to my clients and we do a quick update of their plan, everything they've told me, and exactly that. Children are a big thing that's always changing.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are always having new kids. My clients are always having new kids, and that's something that really changes a plan. You know, that's something that we really need to sit down and accommodate for. So
even a
life
change in employment, change in marital status, all your basic and foundational types of changes, I can certainly understand that. I think one thing that I really wanted to put a little time in today, just even if it's only for a few minutes, is there's an awful lot of doom and gloom out there as far as the economy, but are there not an awful lot of opportunities also at the same time?
Oh, there definitely are a lot of opportunities out there. However, what I do, I'm not the guy that's out there looking, calling you up and saying, hey, you know, gold is really going to make it this year. Let's put as much money as we can in gold. I'm not out there speculating. I'm out there more creating long-term goals, and we're doing long-term investments.
Mm-hmm.
And really, to create a portfolio, a long-term portfolio, which you would do so for things like retirement, for things like college education or just long-term investments.
Sure.
You really need to sit down with your clients, and there's a couple of factors that you want to look into. The first is their risk tolerance. I sit down with my clients, and I have a number of questions I ask them to kind of gauge their tolerance of risk. And that is probably the most important thing when it comes to investment.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of people don't understand risk when they get into investments. They think all investments are equal. Either they're doing well or they're doing bad. Not necessarily the case. If some of my clients, my younger clients, say, hey, you know what, Marcus, I have 30 years till retirement. You know, I'm going to put this money in here in solid investments, and I'm just going to forget about it. I'm going to let it go.
Uh-huh.
You know, I'm really aggressive. You know, then we'll put them in maybe in investments that have potential of really growing a lot, but also could face some years, like these last couple of years, where they really get hit.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason why risk tolerance plays such a heavy role is because if you can't handle that risk, then you'll face what a lot of Americans face this last couple of years, is when you do take that 70%, 60% hit, which is very devastating to a lot of people.
Oh, yeah.
A lot of Americans went and they pulled their money out of their investment, down 70%.
Right.
Then what happened? Well, their money was in cash, and you know, they took out all their money, and the market rebounded. It's not all the way back to where it was, but a lot of those people who took their money out of the market because they couldn't handle that risk, because they panicked, missed that opportunity for that rebound to get their money back. And then what they're going to do is in these next couple of years, or when the market does start to really do well again, everybody's going to put their money back in. So essentially what they're doing is they're selling low and buying high. And we all have heard the cliche, you want to, or we've all heard the saying, you want to buy low and sell high.
Yep.
So when do I bring the money to the table to you?
I call you up
and I say, okay, Marcus, I've got $5,000 that I can spread across the board. I give you that $5,000.
Okay. So, well, what we're going to do, again, is just take you through that process that I take all my clients through. Is the first thing we do is I sit down and get to know you, whether or not you're married, how you, if you guys have kids, if you're going to have kids, if you're going to have more kids, you know, what are your thoughts on retirement, on education? You know, is it a dual income family or is one person the majority, you know, is one person bringing in the majority of the income? And after I get all that information, I'm able to make a customized plan for each one of my clients. And it might not mean investments within the first year or even the first couple of years. It might be just, hey, you know, there's a lot of risk out there for your family. You both bring in $50,000 a year. If something happened to one of you, you're living off of half of that. You know, your lifestyle for your family, for your kids, your goals, they all change. We need to protect that, you know. So we protect that with things like life insurance, disability insurance, long-term care insurance. You know, just wipe off the risk first. So sometimes we just take care of that. And then we say, okay, in 6 months we're going to start with putting in some, you know, start up a Roth IRA or something for retirement. It really varies depending on who you're talking to. And you really want a financial planner who does needs-based financial planning, depending on your needs, versus a product planner, versus someone who comes in and says, okay, you guys make $100,000, this is what you should do. You really want someone who sits down and gets to know you.
So as a financial representative and doing an in-depth evaluation with your client, then you can kind of go to the Chinese menu and go, well, you know, maybe this annuity is better for you, and maybe this mutual fund would be better for you. And here's a variety of life insurance companies that we can get some quotes from. You can kind of do the shopping, because I know, I mean, you can find just about anything on the internet, and that can be kind of overwhelming dealing with a dozen different companies as opposed to going to one person like you and saying, okay, Marcus, put a package together for me, let's talk about that, and then we can move on from there, because you're dealing with people that you understand and the client may be a little naive in that particular area. Would that be a true statement?
Yes. Which brings up a point I want to make. You definitely want to talk to a financial planner who's independent, who's independently contracting, meaning they can go out and invest your money with almost any investment out there. They have access to many investments. They have access to many different insurance companies that they can go with. You don't want to work with someone who's only working with one company. Mm-hmm. And, you know, for obvious reasons, you want someone who's going to be
shop
a little
around.
Bit. Yes. Someone who can make sure that what they're putting you in is definitely in your best interest.
Mm-hmm. Now, maybe one of the obvious questions that that our listeners may have is, okay, that's a great thing. You've spent all this time with us, Marcus. How do you get paid? Am I going to be writing you a check every month, or, you know, are you just a really nice guy that's independently wealthy who did very well with his own advice and doesn't need an income? You know, there's been an awful lot of commentary on Wall Street and broker fees, and you see it on TV commercials and things like that. How much of a part of my investment, if I'm going to invest $5,000 or $1,000 in the marketplace or with a financial representative like yourself, is out of that, let's say it's $1,000, is $300 of it going to go nowhere because it's all going up in fees? Or how much of a $1,000 is actually going to end up being really invested on my behalf? I guess that's probably a legitimate question.
Mm-hmm. Well, I am a nice guy, but I do like getting paid. So.
There you go.
And we like you getting paid.
That's a good idea, yes. This is America, and you should get paid.
It varies. On the insurance side, I get commissions from whatever company we use.
Uh-huh.
And on the investment side, for most of my clients, I would say almost all of my clients, I work on commissions as well. So uh-huh. It's only if my recommendations make sense, then I get paid from whatever companies or whose products we put in place.
Okay.
You really are going to do the best that you can do, because that's exactly how you're going to get paid.
Yes.
As opposed
yes.
to just somebody saying, this is what you need to do, and walking away.
Exactly. I want to make sure that I'm doing a good job, because it's going to be obvious with you, if not now, when someone else comes along. You know, if I don't do a good job in setting up your plan right now, if I just say this is what you're going to do and I don't really do a good job advising you on why we're doing it or what we're doing exactly, then when someone else comes around and says, hey, you know, we got to take a look at this, my clients would easily go with that. So what I do, again, is I make sure I do a good job advising my clients on what we're doing exactly and why we're doing it, why it fits in with them exactly. And if they agree with that, we move forward, and I get paid a commission. Typically on the investment side, I use mutual funds for the most part. I like using mutual funds because they allow my clients to diversify a lot more.
Mm-hmm.
And I get paid a certain percentage on that. It's not 30%. It wouldn't be 300 of a
right.
$1,000.
Oh, David always thinks
not
big,
that.
No.
Well, you know, I was just being facetious. It's with, you know, I guess living in Missouri and, you know, and with most folks, hard-earned money, you know, you certainly don't want to put it in a tin can and bury it in the backyard, or necessarily buy, put it in a savings account, which is paying nothing. But then if you're looking for, I know a lot of pastors have talked about generational wealth, where you want to accumulate as a family as much wealth as you can so you can leave it for your children, and then, you know, it can grow over generations. So, you know, with lots and lots of questions out there, I mean, can you give us kind of a brief explanation of like a 401k versus a Roth IRA, and I mean just some of the basic fundamental things, that the buzzwords that are in the marketplace nowadays, and what is a mutual fund? You know, just maybe we can just talk about some of the basic fundamental things today, and we can follow up at a later date with maybe a little bit more detail. But I know our listeners probably could use just a little bit of education, if you can drop that on us.
Okay. Well, let's start with, you know, the first things you mentioned, 401k, Roth IRA, traditional IRA, 403b, pension. All of these are just simply accounts that you can invest your money in. Well, besides pension, but your 401k, or traditional Roth IRA, Roth IRA, these types of accounts that you hear of all the time are not investments itself. They're simply just accounts, and within these accounts, you can invest your money.
Okay.
What they are qualified plans. They're called qualified plans. And the government put special tax advantages on these accounts because they want the public to go out and save for retirement. You know, they
right.
want them to be able to save for education. And the difference between these plans are really how they're taxed before or after the money gets into the account. All
right.
of these accounts your Roth IRA, traditional IRA, your 401k. If you're a government employee, you may have a 403b. They all grow tax deferred. And what that means is, if you were to put in $1,000 and make 10% this year, you would have made $100. Mm-hmm. Well, in a regular account, you would have to pay taxes on that $100 mm-hmm. if it was just a regular investment account. However, if it's in one of these, if you're investing your money in your 401k or your Roth IRA, you don't pay taxes. It grows tax deferred. Okay. Now, where you do pay taxes is whether you pay taxes on the front end or on the back end. Now, with your 401k, your traditional IRA, 403b, and almost every other plan out there, many other plans out there, they're all pre-tax. What that means is, I'm just going to pick a round number. If you made $100,000 this year, and you contributed $10,000 into one of these accounts or a couple of these accounts, at the end of the year, you can take that $10,000 as a tax deduction,
wow.
meaning you're only paying taxes this year on $90,000.
Hmm.
Okay,
excellent.
It grows tax deferred just like all of these plans do. However, on the back end, when you start to collect, you pay taxes then. Okay,
okay.
A Roth IRA and also a 529 plan, which is for college education, is taxed the exact opposite. If you made $100,000 this year and you contributed $10,000, just like the first scenario, at the end of the year, you'd still pay taxes on the full $100,000. It grows tax deferred. However, when you start to collect it, whether it be in retirement or for college or whatever it is,
mm-hmm.
You don't pay taxes at that time.
Wow.
So a lot of my clients ask me, well, Marcus, which one, you know, what's the difference? Does it matter whether I get taxed now or taxed later? And the thing I bring up to them is this. Right now, we pay some of the lowest taxes we've paid in history.
Mm-hmm.
We're in, you know, one of the lowest taxes that we've paid ever.
Mm-hmm.
And what you need to ask yourself is, where is it going to be when you need to start collecting this money?
Yeah.
You know, we have things going on like the war. We have the bailout. You know, if universal health care gets passed, you know, those kind of things, we're going to have to pay for these. Social Security.
Yeah.
You know, so I can't say whether taxes are going to go up, but most people would assume that, yes, taxes are going to go up. So it is better to pay taxes now and get them out of the way and not have to pay them later, you know.
Right. Yeah.
It becomes much less of a guessing game because you know what the taxes are now. However, you don't know what they are in the future. You know, if they go from, you know, 35% right now to 50%, that's a big change.
Oh, absolutely.
You know, that's a big, big, big concern you have when you start to retire.
Yeah, the second way. Paying your taxes at the end would be like going on a game show, like Price is Right, winning all the prizes, but you have to pay all the taxes. Most people can't even afford to pay the taxes on all the prizes that they've won, so they have to give it all up. So I would rather get it out of the way right at the beginning when I'm more able to pay the taxes, both because I'm able to work and everything else, versus at the end when I'm watching half of it go away because the taxes are so high.
And even the conversation that we're having now and how you're explaining that, just these couple of aspects of planning your finances, taking that few minutes of having somebody that knows about these things like a 401k or a Roth IRA and all that, taking that brief moment before you invest your hard-earned money and having these kinds of conversations just makes sense because you have lots and lots of choices out there, don't you?
You have viable choices, viable options, workable choices.
Yeah, Linda has to get all that out of the way.
I am really good at that.
And to go back on that really quick.
I'm sorry, Mark, I didn't mean to throw you off track.
Oh, no problem. To go back on that, make another note on that. a lot of my clients say, okay, well, do we just start with the Roth IRA, which would be the after-tax way of doing it? Mm-hmm. And quite often I say, no, let's look at your 401k, because most people who have 401ks, well, actually not right now because of this economy has changed, but quite often when people have 401ks, they receive a match.
Right.
You know, and that's free money.
Absolutely. Know, a lot of times free money. You were reading my mind. If you've got an employer that's paying in on top of what you're paying in, man, go for the free ride.
Exactly, because I can't give you any free money. I'll never be able to do that.
Yeah.
But
hello.
Normal match would be contribute 3% of your salary, and we'll match it.
Uh-huh.
So contribute up to your match, and then go start a Roth IRA. To take full advantage of that match.
Now, does someone have the same risks, which I don't think they do based on what we've been talking about, coming to a financial representative versus going to a stockbroker being completely wiped out? I used to work at Prudential Beige, and, I mean, there was people leaving that office sometimes being carried out, yelling and screaming because the representative, their accountant, didn't move fast enough, or they wouldn't let them move fast enough, and yada, yada, and everything was gone.
Well,
you don't have that
here's the thing.
Scenario.
There's good stockbrokers and there's bad stockbrokers. There's good financial planners and there's bad financial planners. Mm-hmm. You are going to take that risk. What you need to do is just do your due diligence and make sure that this person really has your best interest in mind.
Sure.
Now, that being said, going back to the stockbroker versus someone who does financial planning, what a stockbroker will do is make sure, you know, a good stockbroker will make sure you're in good investments that are suitable for you, your risk tolerance, and they even help you get towards your goal of retirement or whatever that wealth accumulation goal is. What he doesn't have is, quite often, is the full picture. Mm-hmm. He doesn't know how, you know, about the risk management part. He won't really focus on, okay, you need to take care of these risks before you put money towards wealth accumulation.
That's not his focus. His focus is to make you rich as fast as possible.
His focus is to help you accumulate wealth, correct?
Yes.
Yeah.
But that's all it is. It's just someone who does financial planning quite often will have a bigger picture. And you want to make sure you do that. Like I said, you want to make sure you work with someone who does holistic planning. Meaning they do the risk management as well as the wealth accumulation.
Yeah, I guess one of the things that a good example would be if I went to a stockbroker and decided to put all my money into, you know, BP oil back when they had the disaster in the Gulf of Mexico, is not the same as being in an energy fund of which maybe BP is one of the stocks. But I'm also into wind energy and Shell Oil and Amoco and all the different energy stocks. So even if BP took a dump and dropped right off the face of the earth, just because I happen to be in an energy fund, my risk is being spread out over many, many, many companies as opposed to having all my eggs in one basket. Would that be something that maybe would lend itself to why somebody might want to get into a mutual fund as opposed to a single stock?
That is a very good point. Let me just go back a little bit. When you are creating your financial portfolio for whatever it is, retirement, education, or anything like that, there are a couple of things that you want to take into factor. First thing is diversity. You want to make sure you diversify. You don't want to have the first thing is risk tolerance. So if you're not tolerant to risk, you don't want to be in a lot of investments that fluctuate a lot, that have a lot of volatility. The second thing would be diversity. You know, you don't want to have all of your money in one sector or in one market. For example, a lot of people got in trouble in the early 2000s because they had all their money in technology. Mm-hmm. And when that bubble burst, so did theirs.
Sure.
Also, now a lot of people, this recent one, a lot of people had a lot of their money in housing or in banking, mm-hmm. you know, so they got killed.
Sure.
You don't want to have all of your eggs, just like you said, in one basket. You want to make sure it's spread out amongst different sectors in the market, you know, whether it be blue chips, which are really large industries, mid caps, international stocks. You want to have it spread out amongst all of these. And then the third theme that comes to play is asset allocation. How much of your money do you want in each area?
Mm-hmm.
Now, what happens is that gets very costly if we're working with individual stocks.
Mm-hmm.
Like you said, we might want to have some of our money in energy. So we might want to have it in BP. But then we want to spread the risk because if BP goes down but Shell does good, you know, we want to have our money split between several different companies.
Right.
And that's just energy. Well, what about technology? So then we got to go take money and put it in technology and spread it out amongst different companies in technology.
Mm-hmm.
So goes with international, small cap, you know, all of these different types of asset classes. We want to make sure that our money is diversified amongst all of them and within all of them amongst different companies. Now, that gets very costly to do. So what a mutual fund is, essentially, is a lot of different investors pooling their money together and having a money manager or a team of money managers invest that money for them. And what it allows investors to do, since they're pooling their money together, is to get that diversity or to get that asset allocation and spread their money amongst hundreds, if not thousands, of different stocks and bonds and make sure they are well diversified.
Mm-hmm. Well, that makes lots and lots of sense because, well, let's say, for example, if you had some money in an automotive mutual fund, even though General Motors and Chrysler may not have done so well, Ford is doing pretty good. So if Ford stock was part of your mutual fund and investments in that particular company, maybe over the last few months you may have at least offset some of your losses. And if somebody has companies are going to have good years and bad years, and if you're in for the long haul as you're making these financial plans and the choices that you're making over the next 5 or 10, 3, 4, 5, 10 years, there's a pretty good chance that in the good years you're going to make some money and maybe not make so much money in a company's bad years, but over the long haul, you're going to be at least ahead of the game. Would that be a good statement?
Yeah. What you want to do is exactly just diversify your money within quality investments. You know, you want to pick good funds who have managers who have a history of really, you know, doing well in managing their funds. You know, and yes, you will see dips, but you will see gains. The market's not always going to go up, and it's not always going to go down.
As a financial representative, you have to do a lot of homework on a daily basis, don't you?
Mm-hmm. Well, my biggest job is finding good funds and fund managers.
Mm-hmm.
See, I don't do a lot of homework on going in and on individual stocks or investments. My job is really to create a very solid plan, you know, figure out what it's going to take for us to get to where we want to go.
Right.
And then to find quality products to fit that plan, whether it be quality insurance to fit the risk management part or quality funds. You know, I go out and I do a lot of research on different managers and different fund families and make sure that I have my clients with these money managers who do well, who has a history of doing well and performing.
Now, Does one have to live in Las Vegas to get your services, or can we do these over the phone? Or?
Well, I do. Right now, I have clients in Las Vegas, California, and Hawaii. A lot of my Hawaii clients I deal with on the phone. I do go to Hawaii about 4 times a year, maybe a little bit less now. A lot of it can be done on the phone. I can work in other states if someone wanted to reach out to me, and if they were to become clients, I could get licensed in that state, and I could definitely do things over the phone. I could also give some referrals, too, if someone gives me a call, mm-hmm. and it's something that I think they need to meet with someone in person, or in person a lot with, then you know, I could definitely give a recommendation to someone in whatever state they're in.
If someone was to reach out to you, how would they do that? What's the number that they should call, or can they email you, or what's the best way to get a hold of you?
Well, as you folks know, I'm actually moving from one firm to another firm right now. That's just because it's going to give me a lot more opportunity and give my clients a lot more opportunity. So my email is changed, and I only have a personal email now that people can definitely reach out to. I just wanted to let you know why it's just a Gmail account that you might be emailing me to. Mm-hmm. But people can email me at Marcus, that's MARCUS, 3860@gmail.com. If you want to reach out to me, I can answer any questions, or we can get a hold of each other and set up maybe a phone conference.
Sure. And as Marcus moves through some of the changes that is going on in his life, we will have the appropriate links on our website for those a little further down the page. And it's really important, I think, for our listeners to understand that when you're working, you know, working with a financial planner, this is not the short get rich quick type of situation where it's not like going to the crap tables and at the Bellagio and hoping, you know, putting down $100 and hoping you're going to walk away with $20,000. You're looking for the long haul. You're looking for investments for yourself and for your family and your stability and your state of well-being, and to help sort of eliminate the stress. So later on, when it's time for the kids to go to college, you're not scrambling around trying to come up with the money, or if you have a family emergency, you have some assets that you can get into and utilize to kind of get you out of trouble. And when you want to retire and you want to buy that home in Hawaii, you can do that. So
there's something else I want you to tell the listeners, if you will, Marcus, because we talked about it the other night. It's not always just personal financial planning. You also can do this for people with small businesses like ourselves, and guaranteeing them, if they're in a partnership and something happens to one partner, their risk in owning that company goes down if they've had a financial representative lay out the groundwork, right?
Yes, I do work with a lot of small businesses, and what you're explaining right now is one part of what I do with small business, probably the most popular part. A lot of small businesses I work with are partnerships, mm-hmm. you know, and what I was explaining to you the other night is quite often people get into partnerships and it's working very well, you know, but then something happens to one partner. Let's just say one partner passes away. Well, then now you're in business with that partner's spouse or that partner's 18-year-old son, and they have just as much say in what goes on with the business as you do, you know, and that's not always the greatest thing.
Right.
So a lot of times my clients, they do buy-sell agreements, meaning they set up some type of agreement, and we work with a lawyer to set this up, where if something were to happen to you in a partnership, we put an insurance plan out there that the company pays for that will buy out your share.
Oh.
And so so that your spouse or your kids get their fair amount of what they deserve from the business, but then now you're not in business with, you know, with them, and you get to make the decisions and run the business how you were, you know, mm-hmm. and no problems arise that way.
Wow.
There's many other things I do. I do employee benefits. Example, setting up an employee retirement plan that will help small businesses attract and keep key employees. So, yeah, I work with individuals and typically small businesses.
Wow. So there are lots and lots of choices out there. People, our listeners need to, I guess it's just important to understand that if you decide to, maybe you own a business right now or you're deciding to open up a business, you've got a lot more options and a lot more benefits that don't necessarily have to, you know, break the bank. I mean, you can, because you're in for the long haul. If you're opening up a business and you plan on, you know, having a business for 20 years or 30 years, you can do an awful lot for yourself and for your employees just by doing a little planning and maybe being diversified with the profits and profit sharing and things of that nature, and health insurance and all those benefits that can bring good employees to you and help you retain them over time. So you don't have to be GM, Ford, or Chrysler, or IBM, or Microsoft. You can be a small business and still get the cream of the crop.
Exactly. And a lot of people think that they need to come into my office with a good understanding of what they're going to do or what they want. Really, you could come into my office and a good financial representative, you can just walk into their office and just say, hey,
you can be completely confused.
Exactly, and it's our job to take in all the different variables, all the different factors, and really work with you in creating a plan, and not only creating it, but really sitting down and advising you on why we're doing what we're doing and what it is exactly that we're doing. You know, it's very important for you to understand your financial plan and not just trust that whoever you're working with is doing, you know, doing what's
doing
best
their job.
Yeah. Are you personally and professionally optimistic about our economy over the next few years, or are you being cautious and protective? I know I'm kind of putting you on the spot, but what do you think, and what does the market think of the market right now?
I think that we saw a lot of the worst of it. I think that there is going to be some surprises that still come up that we haven't seen yet. I'm still steadily and consistently putting away towards my retirement plan, towards my other plan, because I know that I'm in it for the long run. And the worst thing you can do is try to time the market. You know, the worst thing you can do is try to get your money in at the best spot, because that's what kills a lot of people, you know, trying to time the market. What you want to do is just have a consistent plan that you stick with, you know.
Uh-huh.
You want to, yeah.
And I guess it's for our listeners to understand, it's really okay if all you can do is put $100 away a month or $100 investment a month and start out with $1,000 and do small amounts. As long as you're consistent and steady, you're looking at the long haul. You know, it's going to build over some time, and Wall Street is, the Dow Industrial or Dow is still at 10,000. You know, there are people making money out there, so it's perfectly okay to think, I want my fair share of that too. And you have that right, and you work hard, and if you look for the long haul, over time you can start out with a small amount of money and end up with a nice retirement, I guess, a nice nest egg.
I have a 21-year-old girl who's putting in $25 a month towards her retirement plan, and that's all we really have set up.
Uh-huh.
And that's very impactful. And the reason why is not so much the $25 a month that she's putting in, but the fact that she's starting early and she's building good habits towards saving.
Absolutely.
So what I would say to most people out there is don't wait, you know, don't wait because you're not sure about the economy. You know, just start something, even if it's something really small. I would say just start, you know, to build those habits. You know, you don't have to put big chunks in the market right now. Just start to build a nice consistent habit where every month you're putting something away. You know, even if it's not in the stock market, even if it's just in a regular liquid savings account, mm-hmm. you know, build up that emergency fund. You know, we haven't even talked about emergency funds today, but that's one of the first things I have my clients do is work towards or set up an account where they're working towards having 3 to 6 months expenses just in a regular savings account that will always be there in case of an emergency.
Sure. Yeah. Working on the fundamentals is absolutely important. And once you start taking some of that stress off your life, then your health will start benefiting, and then your family will be a little happier, and you can start planning for vacations and things of that nature that helps get you a little bit more balance in your life, I think. Once you've got this part out of the way, which can, you know, is a little overwhelming to most folks. I mean, there's none of us are resident experts on the financial markets, but working with somebody like yourself kind of takes a lot of that anxiety off. It's just working with an expert, you know, a subject expert on stuff.
And I like the fact that all of your clients come from referrals, because that means that you're doing a really good job, and the best form of advertising is always word of mouth. Anybody can put an ad in the paper, but to know that this person down here went to you and you did such a great job, they're going to listen to this person a lot faster than they are going to by reading an ad in the paper saying, come see me, I can, you know, secure your finances. So I like that, because that's how I've built my business over the last 25 years, is probably 90% word of mouth. And it's built into a very successful business. So I know this will work for you also.
Thanks. Yeah, a referral is so powerful.
It is. It is. It can be powerful and it can be devastating at the same time. You know? However, I have not had many of those in the last 25 years, and I don't think you will have any either. I know you love what you do, and you are very, very good at it. So
you're 6 people away from knowing everybody on this planet, so one referral is worth its weight in platinum, and I think I've been so intrigued with today's show that we know we're going to have you back, because there are so many other subjects to kind of delve into, and even something as simple as the emergency fund and having all these basics and fundamentals behind you. I mean, we've pretty much used up most of our time today, so we do appreciate you taking the time out this afternoon to spend with us, Marcus. We really, really appreciate it. Thank you so much.
It's no problem, and I'll come back anytime.
Okay.
Thank you. Thank you so much. And if you were really, really nice, send us some sunshine, okay?
Yeah.
I'll try.
Yeah, being out west. Okay. Thank you, Marcus. And thank you, ladies and gentlemen, for spending some time with us today as we kind of went over a different aspect of your choices along the way here. Our next show, which we're really looking forward to, we're going to have an in-depth discussion of Lyme disease. And
that's Lyme with no S.
Yeah, there's no S. Limes is what you make limeade out of. Lyme disease is another issue, and we're going to talk about not only the alternative aspects of working with that problem and some of the medical information that's involved with it. And
we're just going to give you the straight talk about Lyme disease, the protocol, what to do, how it happened, why in God's name could it happen. I mean, a tiny little tick infesting someone's body that much, it's almost unheard of.
Yeah.
So
we appreciate you spending the time with us this afternoon, and bless you all. Have a great week. Be safe. Seth, go right ahead and take us out. Thank you.